Do you like people who are all out and full bore? Yes. I have a friend. His name is Jonathan Wayne Hartford.
Yes.
And Jonathan Wayne Hartford, many of you know him as John Hartford, is an extremist. I'm one just like him. We're very many times two peas in the same pod. Can I get you to shut the door once, by the way? Now, John, let me tell you, there's this cliff in Lenore City, and people like to go and jump off of it into the water. It's nothing extreme. It's nothing dangerous. But it's kind of high. It's about 30 feet. Some people may have done it at nighttime. That was a little bit dangerous. But this cliff, okay, if I could describe to you, we're going to act like there's a little hump here, and I'm going to walk this far, and this is the edge, and it's on a downward slope. Well, my friend John, I get there and I jump off the high part. So John is an extremist. So you know what he does? He runs from way back in the woods, jumps from the lip, flew over the rest of the rock, and hit the water.
It was pretty epic.
It was crazy. Now, that is a bad thing to do and not very intelligent for your personal health. Why have I told you this? Because when we come to God, my question is, and I know this is not what I'm preaching. I know this is off topic, but I really feel like I need to say this. I'm sitting in there in worship, and this happened once in Dominican Republic. Happened several times in Dominican Republic, like where I would be doing something different than everyone else. You know, I like the fact when I let everyone just do the ministry, and I got to kind of just watch like Zach preach and John preach, Chesney preach, Chris and all the girls, Lexi doing the children's ministry. I love just getting Miss Glenda doing all the stuff. I got to see you guys just do the ministry and just step back some services, and I was like, "Well, you're being lazy." Well, no. It was their moment, and I didn't want anything getting in the way of that. And I think back to those times in which I would be sitting there, and all of a sudden I would just feel the Holy Spirit. And I would say, my God, something is going on right now. I don't know what it was. I don't know what just hit. I don't know what just happened. But God is doing something. That happened tonight in worship. I was sitting there, and it was just, I heard a clap, and I think it was Mike. And I heard that, and just something triggered in that second. And I was like, God, you're doing something, not because of the clap. No, it's just it caught my attention. Sometimes we need things to shake us from our reality and catch on to what God is doing. And that just it. Well, Holy Spirit, what are you doing in here? And I got thinking, I saw people start getting down and praying. And that's not the one way to express yourself. That is just a way to express yourself. And if that's your heart, please do it. I will never stop you from doing that. I encourage you. You have a lot of faith and courage to do that. And you should. But I got thinking, you know, there's a lady in the Bible, her name, we know her as Mary. And it talks about her in Matthew chapter 27. It says this, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon. My mom's name is Bethany. A man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, do you know what that means? Jesus went to dinner at someone's home that got healed. You could preach about that. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw us. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and the money could be given to the poor. Sounds like some religious people now. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, "Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured her perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." And what are we doing right now? Remembering it, discussing it. Can I give you a little background about this story? An alabaster jar was not actually the classification of jar. Alabaster was the scent and odor inside of it. An alabaster jar, when you say jar, what do you think? Anyone describe a jar to me? Noah, come on, talk to me. What is a jar?
Basically, just like a glass container.
What about...
glass container.
Give me some characteristics. Just a typical one. There's a couple parts that every jar has. It holds liquid. Mason jar. What does mason jar have on it?
It has the mason logo. It has a copia. And it also has a... depending on the kind, has a metal lid.
So, a typical jar nowadays, it's going to either have a cap, a lid, a cover. Right? Well, back then, the way an alabaster jar was made, there was no lid you could screw off. An alabaster jar was one solid piece. I don't quite know how they made this, but the only way to get alabaster out of an alabaster jar was to break it.
What this story also doesn't tell you, another one of the gospel stories, that this costs about 1 year's wages. So let's take the median income in the United States of America, go about $35,000. So $35,000, this lady walks in our mindset. Yes, that's a new 2012 Chevrolet Camaro Supersport with the taxes, actually RS with the taxes. So this brand new car, let me put some quantifications on what she's just done. So she walks in and she walks up to him. She busts it because that's the only way that it's ever going to get out. That's the only ever way that the good things inside that jar are going to be released. The fact that something had to be broken so that Jesus might be anointed. And also another thing about alabaster, when the jar was opened, at that point in time, they would say that over half its contents and its liquid kind of aromatic state, kind of gaseous state, it was kind of mixed, would escape. So you've got a $35,000 jar of perfume. You break it, $17,500 escapes into the air. And you have this jar. What are you going to do with it? She poured it over his head. And the disciples are sitting there saying, what are you doing? Could you imagine what that would be like if you saw it? If you knew that that one perfume cost that much money. This lady walks in. She's Noah. Just dumps it on his head. Like, first off, that woman is crazy. Because she's dumping perfume on people's heads. Second off, I know how much that costs. Third off, why would she do that? Can I tell you why she did it? Why did she do it? Because Jesus was about to be crucified. Alabaster was the finest. And God was going to send a message through this lady that I'm giving my son the finest. I'm honoring him. I'm anointing him for his burial. You see, when someone buried, their bodies would be anointed. So what am I trying to get at you with this story? What is the meaning of this? Why would the Bible say, I'll tell you the truth, wherever the Bible's read, wherever the good news is preached, you're going to hear about her. Because she did a couple things. She got desperate. She wanted to be with Jesus. And when she came to give God a sacrifice, do you know what she did? She gave the absolute best she could have. And if it meant I set my whole life's expenditures back a year, it doesn't matter because I'm going to give him what he requires. And when I come up to him, if it means that something's got to be broken so I can pour out my love on him, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to do it. So she walks up, boom, she breaks it and she dumps it out. And could you imagine them saying that? This conversation was not reserved. Let's go talk in a private room. No, why did she do it? It's crazy. What am I telling you? You see, just as she lavished the perfume in a physical context over Jesus Christ's body, you can lavish the perfume of your praise over him right now. And sometimes it's going to take for something to get broken. And tonight, that's what was going on. You know the little incense I talked about? That's usually how it goes down. Something breaks. And the presence comes. What am I saying to you? If you want God, sometimes you've got to get desperate, even to the point that it costs you. Most of the time, actually, can I phrase this? It's going to cost you. Every single thing has a price. Tonight, if you want God, don't be afraid to break the alabaster jars in your life. I don't know what yours look like. I don't know what names are written on your jars that you don't want to let Jesus in. She gave her everything. And it's actually, if you want to get deeper, it's a prophetic type of what he was just about to do. She poured her everything out on him. He poured his everything out on the cross. It's a type and shadow. It comes before. What am I saying to you? You want Jesus' attention? What did it say? Everywhere the good news is preached. What year is this? Anyone? What's the date? 2015. 629-11. They say that Jesus was not actually crucified around zero. It was more about 5 or 6. Actually born around 5 or 6. Isn't that right, Mike? When did they say Jesus was born? 5 or 6 AD? Yeah, so his death is coming right around like 42 AD. So you're looking about, we're getting towards the 2,000 year mark, and we're still talking about this. What am I saying to you? You want the world to be changed, give her your everything. And if it means that things have to be broken, and you lose a little bit of yourself, the Bible's quite clear. If you let go of your life, you will gain it. But if you try to hold on to your life, you will lose it. I know that was a lot. But I want you to understand what's going on in worship. When you see someone crying on their face, don't you judge them. Don't you make fun of them. Because you make fun of them, you just made fun of an alabaster jar being broken. And Jesus is sitting saying, I accept her finest. And you're making fun of her finest. I would hate
to recognize what the repercussions of what you've just done are. Don't freak out when you see band members lay down their instruments. I absolutely love it when I see Raymond sit his bass guitar down and go kneel and start crying and praying. That breaks my heart because I just saw another alabaster jar get broken. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 51 verses 16 and 17? If the Lord desired a burnt offering or sacrifice, I would give it. But know, O Lord, what you require and desire is a broken heart. That, O Lord, Psalm 51, 16 and 17. I'll actually read it so I don't butcher this. You do not desire sacrifice or I would offer when you do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you do desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. God doesn't want your money. Yeah, we tithe. At the end of the day, He wants one thing. It's your broken heart. Your alabaster jars. The places sometimes that you don't want to let anyone in. Yeah, that's the place He wants to go. I think it's funny how we come to Jesus and we give Him all these other areas. We're like, here, have this, have this. Well, have my speech, but you can't have my thoughts. Well, you can have my TV, but you can't have my computer. No, what He's interested in is your everything. Those alabaster jars. There's freedom when you break the things that once kept you back. I just wish that I could just imagine this scene. Crack. And you know what the Bible says in other stories? That when she dumped the perfume over his head, it's half liquid, and as it began to evaporate into the air, it would become into a gaseous form. So she dumps it. She's weeping and crying in another story. It says she got down on her knees and was crying, and she would wipe her tears off his feet with her hair. Tonight, you want God in your life. Don't be afraid sometimes to get down on your knees. You know that song we just sang? We're on our knees. We're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna. I was about to go up there and get the microphone. I was like, Holy Spirit, do you want me to go up there and talk? And He's like, no. I said, okay. Who knows what Hosanna, Hosanna is talking about? Anyone? Yes. What does a rock have to do with that story? Rock, you know? That's exactly right.
Jesus was the rock.
Not the rock. Someone said something against it, and Jesus said, don't stop them, for if you do, the rocks will cry out. I heard a pastor say one time, I ain't going to have no rock praising my Jesus. So I'll praise Him. Tonight, we've got a couple things before we get going. Tonight, I've got a message called Underneath the Shadow of His Wings. Yes, sir. Yeah. I was waiting for you. I saw the Bible out.
Well, it was always in there singing that one song, Hosanna in the Highest. And in John, they actually took branches of palm leaves and were waving them and laid them out before Him. And there's a certain reason they call this the palm of your hand. That's to wave at Jesus. That's what we wave at Him or praising Him. You know, that was a triumphant entry when He came in. And Hosanna is a Hebrew word that means save. And then it became an expression of praise that means save now. And that's what they were asking Him to do. Hmm. So they were blowing trumpets and waving palm leaves. And our trumpet is our voice. And this is our palm leaves that we need to, you know, that's why we need to raise our hands and praise Him for His presence.
Amen. I actually didn't know what Hosanna meant. I knew at one point in time and I forgot it. That is, I didn't know that about the poem. That's really cool. Sometimes we wonder how biblical texts come into our lives. There's always a bridge. You're like, what in the world is this Old Testament business? Red seas and plagues. Trust me, there's meaning in there. Thank you, Mike. I was waiting for you. I saw that Bible come out and I was like, come on now, get up here. I was waiting for it. Tonight, here's the basic deal, what's going to happen. The message is not going to be long before that. I want us to be able to talk about the Dominican Republic trip. We just got back in the country last Thursday night. Had a great trip. Took 19 total, including me and all the adults. It was great. Absolutely loved it. Got to see all kinds of people getting ministry that weren't beforehand. Not as in weren't beforehand, but as in the context, like speaking for the first time.
testifying for the first time in these contexts, it was just great. The drama. We saw people saved just by seeing the drama. That's crazy. That is absolutely just amazing to me. Practicing the drama. Yeah, not even, I didn't even know about that. I had no clue. That's why I should not have been sleeping. We'll get it after service. It's awesome, though. The guy who went to church with us basically said that the salvation's coming to his house. What was the exact statement?
Well, he had a dream. He saw Daniel and Lex. Were you out there, Daniel, Lex,
yeah,
and Jacob?
Yeah, I was out there.
And Stephanie was out there. And us, and they were practicing it. And he decided that night he wanted to go to church.
Yeah.
So he went to church, and the morning we left, he ran to his grandmother, and he said, I dreamed last night I was flying, and there were a couple other parts, and he said, we have to repent. Our house has to repent. We have to start going to church. And it was like that just seeing y'all practice and then going to church that night changed his whole life and probably will change that entire family's life.
Yeah. That's awesome, because in the Bible, a lot of times it would talk about when salvation would come to someone, it would say that salvation came to the household. I believe Jesus is in the business of saving houses, and he just did it through a drama, practice. That's how God chooses to move. It's amazing. We're going to do offering really quick. Does anyone have a hat or a clean shoe? Matt.
Not a shoe.
Here's my shoe.
Okay.
Here's my shoe. I haven't
worn. They're clean. It's brand new.
Okay, we're going to take offering in this hat with flair.
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone understand the movie reference?
No.
I did the flair thing.
Office Space. With that said, we're going to take offering in the pink hat, fedora hat here. Tonight, I understand every single Wednesday night. A couple Wednesday nights ago, I was blown away by the offering. I'm not really gave you guys status reports. I went in there to count and give the offering to the accountant. I'm like $159 and so many cents. I was like, wow, that is awesome, Jesus. Every single cent of that money goes straight into the youth ministry. It goes to provide for events, to provide for scholarships for kids that can't go. But more importantly, every single bit of that money you're giving is not at the end of the day. I don't touch it. I don't have anything to do with it. It's when we give, we recognize that we're giving not just to some building or to some person. We're giving in obedience to God's word. He says, bring your whole tithe and offering into the storehouse so that I might pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot even contain. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 and then 11. A little bit down, it says, and I will rebuke a devourer, talking about locust, but it's a representation of a devourer in modern times. Little flower. For a tither's sake. What does that mean? When you give to God, first off, you can't outgive God. I had a kid in high school come up to me and said, John, can God do anything? Me being as a junior, I'm like, yeah. Actually, who would answer, can God do anything right now? Yes. Raise your hand.
Yes.
Who would answer, no, God can't do anything? Why would you say no, Derek?
He can't sin. He can't lie.
God is unworthy.
Right here. He cannot go against his word. God can't lie to you. So I said, actually, no, he can't. And that kid was like, he was one of the football player kids that his IQ was potato. And I think he would have looked at me and said, duh. I thought about that for 10 minutes. Point of the story, I don't know. Point of the story is that you can't outgive God. He's bigger than your biggest, wildest, craziest dreams. Tonight, we're going to take up our tithe and offering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Lord Jesus Christ. Chancey, do the offering. And Stephanie, you need an offering?
No, I'm good.
No, come on up. You asked to do it on Sunday nights. Come on.
I'm good.
Come on.
No, I'm good.
Fine then. You got it? Daniel, come on up. Let's pray. Let's take up our tithe and offering tonight.
Happy birthday, Jansy.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Jansy.
You know, there's a song coming right.
Oh, okay.
It may or may not be Chancey's birthday. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity to release back into your kingdom, God, what you have so graciously given to us. Lord God, I pray according to your word, God, as we bring our whole tithe and offering into your storehouse, God, I know you're going to pour out blessings that people cannot even contain and rebuke devourers for tithers' sake. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, Amen.
Boom, shot,
Gloria. I mean, Gloria. Yabes. So, a su nombre?
Gloria!
A su nombre?
Gloria!
We were in this little mountain church, and this preacher got going, and he goes, a su nombre? And then we did it like six times. I'm like, you're going to go seven. And then he quit, so it was crazy.
Oh, thank you.
So, without no further ado, Lexi, you're able to get up here and testify about the trip. Guys, for those of you who did not know, we went to the Dominican Republic, the Santo Domingo area, for exactly 8 days. 8 days between June. Can't talk.
Hey, shut up. If you talk during my testimony, I will slap you, just
no,
so you know.
No, don't slap people.
Yes, I will.
Be sweet. Be sweet. Oh, gosh. But for those of you who don't know, Malachi, I can't even think. Oh, my gosh. That progressed quickly. We were gone June the 16th. Oh, what should we say? Oh. That's great. Well, sure. June the 16th through the 23rd, 8 days. We went everywhere from the mountains to the valleys to the places in between to schools to churches to street crusades to everywhere. We got opportunities to preach to six churches, do six children's services, two open air crusades, and have two work projects, all the while doing the drama in between.
And so,
when you slept bug bites. Lexi, tell them a little about shortly about what went on. I've got a couple other people I'd like to testify to.
I went to, I'm a children's person, like I love kids, I want to be a children's pastor, and I was really amazed about how friendly the children are there. They, like, me and Alex Martino were sitting in the front row of church, and it was like me, and then Alex, and then these two Haitian kids, and then Wendell. And this bench is not very big, it's no bigger than our front row benches, and there's these kids, and they're walking up the aisle in the middle of service, and I'm just looking, and they come, and they stand, and they just look at me, and I was like, okay, and I pad the spot next to me, and then there was another one, and another one, and we, me and Alex look at each other, and I'm like, where are we going to put all these kids, because there were a ton of kids, and at the end of the service, they ended up sitting on our laps, and it was just great, and one of the most touching moments is when we were doing a children's street crusade in the village, and this was the poorest village we went to, hands down, and it, we were sitting there, and the tarp was up over here so they could put, the puppets and whatnot, and there's this girl, and she sat down next to me, and on her second toe, like, right here, she had this, like, gash, and there were gnats, like, flying in it, and it was oozing, and it was completely and utterly disgusting. Like, completely disgusting. It was bad. And I don't really deal with wounds very bad, very, very bad, very well at all. I'm not a person to deal with blood and guts. And I look at her, and I get up, and I go to the back of the bus, and I get her a Band-Aid. And I put this Band-Aid on her. And you would have thought that I had performed, like, open-heart surgery or something, because this girl was so happy that I gave her a Band-Aid. And she was so amazed because she had never seen one before. And one of our other girls who were standing up, she had a Band-Aid on. And I showed it to her, and I was like, here, I'm going to put this on that. And she helped me, and she was just so amazed. And I thought about, like, American kids, they get Band-Aids for boo-boos you can't even see. They get Band-Aids because they fall down the stairs and hit their butt, and there's no bruise, there's no cut, nothing. And so they were just incredibly, incredibly thankful, and it was a really moving experience.
Daniel.
What about the trip? It was a long
time. Are we ready in season out season?
No, I just
testify.
There's a lot of stories I could tell.
Tell us about the girls that touched you on the plane.
What?
Yeah.
The little the baby the, screaming on the plane? You're fired.
I was so mad at the kid.
Very
like,
no detail.
The plane,
oh my gosh.
Talk about what it is. Tell them about the curtains, what they smell
okay,
like.
Okay, you guys are all...
Stop.
You guys quit.
Stop. No. Okay, this is a serious moment.
What do you smell like?
We'll talk about all this later.
What do curtains smell like?
It's not. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, seriously.
I guess the one I'll share is the drama, because I'm kind of shy and I really wasn't too excited to be doing the drama, and I was really bad at it at first and for practice until like the very last practice. Grant helped me get it, and then we did it every day, didn't we? At least once a day, twice some days.
Did it every day at least once.
Except for the one day I was sick, but no, that was Sunday and I did it that morning. Anyways, we did the drama a lot. And it was really cool. The very first church we went to was about the size of this half of the room, maybe a little bit bigger. And it was, you know, concrete floors, brick wall, and a metal roof. Did that one have power? That one had power. Yeah, that one had sketchy power. But that church went crazy. We did the Redeemer drama, which if you've seen it, it's the story of Jesus creating the world and then how he intercedes for the sin, like he breaks through the wall that sin creates between us and God. And at one point I was playing Jesus and I get crucified and I stand back up, and at that point that church was crazy. It's just on their feet and cheering, and you don't get that in the States at all, which people just don't get excited. I guess they've heard it too much or something, like that's reason not to get excited about Jesus dying for your sins. But that was really cool. And then one of the last few nights we did it, I remember at that point when I got up, I looked, and our bus drivers had driven us around all week. Mm-hmm. They aren't Christians, but they were definitely moving that way. One of them was inside the church watching it, and you could see it in his face. It was affecting him. And then I looked in the window, and the other one was peeking through the blinds watching it that night, too. So I think they're definitely heading in the right direction. But that was really cool. There's a lot of stories I can tell, but I'll end it with that one. So.
Thank you, guys. We, all in all, just had an awesome trip, an awesome time. You go on a mission trip, and I'm honestly, like, expecting a tire to blow up, someone to get in the hospital. I mean, Lord, I know of everything from tires blowing up to the truck breaking to bus drivers never showing up, so we had to walk. I mean, you name it, it happened. But nothing. The bus driver was on time every single day.
And his name was Elvis.
And his name was Elvis.
Yeah. And
but tonight I wanted them just to share a little bit. I wish we could just do a full testimony service, but I've really got something I feel like I need to share with you. Every single Wednesday night, I could give us books, and I've had opportunities for curriculum for you guys, but I just don't feel right holding us to a script or holding us to a page. You see, we're a church that believes that the Holy Spirit is not something that we simply read about in the book of Acts, but He's alive, He's moving, He's breathing, and He is the author and mover and guider of every single time that you set foot in these doors. We believe here and in Alive Youth Ministry that God is not some distant thing that doesn't care about us. No, but He cares about you right now. And that He is interested in, you know, sometimes, you know, we pray about God, should I go to this college or not? But, you know, have you ever thought about praying about God, should I go to Burger King or Mickey D's?
Yep.
Every day. It's a hard decision. We're Taco Bell.
One step up from dog food.
And so, actually, that's changed now. That's actually, that's no longer.
I love it. It is dog food now.
So, with that said, the reason why I said that, have you ever thought about just praying about simple little things? About, you know, God, do you want me to go to McDonald's or Burger King? And you're like, well, John, that's silly. Well, you don't know if He said Burger King, and you walk in Burger King and there's a kid sitting there crying at the table, and you say, hey, I've got hope for you. His name is Jesus Christ. You see, there's promise and potential in that. And don't be paying attention to what's going on outside. That is unimportant right now. What's important is what I'm going to tell you about hiding your life beneath the shadow of the Lord's wings. Under His presence and under His power. Under His will and under His word. Tonight, if you go to the book of Psalm, chapter 57, you'll find in the first four verses this right here. Anyone got it? Flipped open Psalm 51. I'm going to tell you, I was going to preach another message called Remember. It's going to be coming soon. It's going to be crazy. It's something the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me for weeks consecutively. But tonight, we're going to focus in on Psalm 57, verses 1 through 4. Who has ever heard the term, beneath the shadow of the Almighty? Anyone heard that before? It's an old school comment that's went back. I grew up with it every single day. Psalm 51 verses 1 through 4 says this. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy.
I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God, Most High, to God who will fulfill His purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God, I love it. I'm going to stop right here. It's all personal. Have you not caught on to that yet? It's David talking to God. It's a prayer. It's a declaration. He said, me. So, my God will send forth His unfailing love and faithfulness. Tonight, if I could tell you, I've only literally got 10 minutes to do this. But if I could tell you about what I'm going to be talking about, it's putting your life underneath God every single moment, every single step, every single breath, every single day. Is your life underneath God's presence and His will? As a Christian, in this moment right now, or a believer, however you want to, you know, there was a big kick a couple years ago, we're not Christians, we're Christ followers. Well, Christian, Christ-like, Christ follower. Okay, cool. Have fun with that, kid. But there was this kick, and they were acting like, it doesn't matter. But whatever you want to distinguish yourself as, my question is in your life in this exact moment, in this time right now, is what you're doing underneath God? Is He above you? Is He guiding you? Is He leading you? Is He your author and finisher of every single thing that you do? Is He your rock? Is He your sound? Is He your song? Is He the reason that you roll out of bed this morning? Is He when storms and trials came? Is He the one whose hand you look for up to uphold you? This scripture, I'm going to just tell you what the scripture says. It's really simple. They call this type of preaching expository. You just say what the text says. I think that the Bible and Jesus is a way better speaker, a way better orator, a way better anything than me. So I'm just going to let Him talk. These words right here, what does it first say? It says, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy. Do you know what that's saying? I want you to take mercy on me. What does mercy mean? Do you want to know what the actual word right there in the Hebrew is trying to say? It literally means to be gracious and to show favor. To sit back and say, God, I want you to be gracious to me. I want you to show favor to me. Exactly. God gives us what we don't deserve. The fact, do you recognize what sin is? Sin that it is falling short of the glory of God. And do you want the recognizing penalty of sin is? The recognized penalty of sin is death. For the wages of sin are death. So to say that you have sin in your life, the penalty of your actions is death. No matter what you do, and we talked about this in Dominican. No matter what you do, that wall lay sitting there. And you have no choice. No matter what you do, no matter how you try, no matter how far you go trying to be a good person, it is utterly useless. But do you know what the ultimate act of mercy in history is? The fact that God would so love the world that He would send His only Son to come and die on a cross, and whomsoever believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is the mercy to you which I profess in this today. That is the mercy of which I speak about. The fact that I deserve that. Do you know what a cross is? And please don't quote me wrong. I used to, when I was in high school, go up to people and say, hey, nice execution device. When they had a cross on. I'd always do it to like the people that were so innocent. And I'd say, hey, nice execution device. I'm getting my lethal injection needle next week. They're like, what? They're like, cross is just an execution device. That is not the important thing. What was done upon that is the important thing. That is the act of mercy. So every single Wednesday night, I have this here right in front of your sight so that you might see this and you might remember that there were once blood-stained wrists hanging upon one of these in history. There were once blood-stained ankles, blood that was bled for you. And there was a last breath that was breathed upon one of these so that you might have life. That is the mercy to which I profess you. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. So you say, God, forgive me of my sin. What are you saying? Forgive me of my sins. Have mercy on me. Show me favor. And as a Christian, Cindy, this is a message to you Christians tonight. What should you be saying? God, have mercy on me. Have favor. God, when I walk into my school and everyone has a problem with this teacher, I want you to have mercy on me so that when I would walk into Dr. Ferguson's class, she would be nice to me and things would go good. And some of you married people are like, that's impossible.
She liked me.
Yeah, she liked me too.
Okay, then it happened with some people.
I didn't like her, but she liked me.
I was in National Honor Society. She likes
National Honor Society. Then it happens.
She just
liked me. But sit back and say, God, have favor on me. You're in William Lott High School, and I had issues with this. Mr. Swaney, Lord, have mercy on me. Let's go on. But you see, but when we're in these situations, then when you're walking into school, you're walking into work, you're hunting for a job, what should your prayer be? Your prayer should be, God, show me favor. Lord, show me mercy. God, that when I would walk in places, God, I want when I walk in, that when people in the line would just begin to speak to me. Your life should be, God, give me favor. Give me your anointing, God. Give me your word. The Bible says in 1 John 2:27, you have the anointing of God. You see, we talk about this in church. Well, that person is anointed. This is that. And people are anointed of God. What is anointing? It's the smearing upon of oil. It's an aromatic presence upon someone's life. We use that to describe God's presence marks that person. But God is saying to you in 1 John 2:27, you have the anointing. You've been anointed by me. I came to you. I smeared my presence upon you. I sent you to speak my words. I want you to be the voice in the light in your school. I'm wanting you to go. But you see, we need to ask God, give me favor. God, give me mercy. Open up windows. Show your presence upon me, God. That when I would walk into the school, kids would all of a sudden just want to speak to me. That when I would be in public, a lot of you say, I want to preach the gospel. I want to go. Well, guys, it doesn't happen by magic. You've got to pray that God would open up doors. And I'm not going to tell you what a door is going to look like because they have many forms. But the first thing off the scripture, God, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. This was an act of mercy. Every single day that I don't get death and I get life, that is mercy. The very blood of Jesus Christ is mercy. Secondly, what does the scripture say? It says, I look to you for protection. My question is right now, what are you looking to in your life? What is the thing that has your attention? What is the thing that has your vision? Is it something other than God? Or is it, I don't know what it might be. It might be sports. It might be school. It might be simply just being popular. It might be being approved. I don't know what it is. But my question is, David says, I look to you. And you're like, well, that, yeah, it's incontinent. But no, he's saying, I look to you for protection. I look for you to give me guidance, to give me protection. And this message tonight really is coming out of a lot of the trip. That we live these things on this trip. And I want you to get a taste of what it was like to be on the mission field. Because when you're on the mission field, if you don't have favor, you get your butt on a plane and go home. When you walk into a prison and there's people in there that have shanks and it could stick them into your chest. Not talking about what I took you guys to, I'm talking about Haiti. We didn't even go to prisons because there was an issue of disease. But when you walk into those places, you better have the anointing of God or you need to not go in there. You see, we think as Christians, it's just all magical and light, ooh, everything. No, you need to be praying that God will show you favor. You want to see souls saved, you better have favor. You want to see souls, you better be holy first off. That's a given. But secondly, I'm going to look to you. On this trip, we can't go unless we're looking at Him. The trip would have never happened. Doors would never. We raised $25,000. Now, some people paid for the trips. Some people donated. Fundraisers were done. But you know how? That's a lot of money. That's a miracle. We look to Him and He provided. My question is to you, Christian, are you looking at Jesus? Is He in your eye? Is He the apple of your eye? Is He the center of your focus, your focal point? Thirdly, it says, I hide beneath the shadow of His wings, resting your life beneath His word and presence. What is the wings of the Almighty? And you hiding yourself, that's what I'm talking about tonight, putting yourself underneath what God is doing. When it says, I hide myself underneath the wings of the Almighty, that does not mean God is a big bird and He has wings. Okay, it's figurative speech. It's speaking about, do you know what a mother does? A mother hen, mother bird will do with her babies? When there's times of danger and times of things they need to be warm, she'll take her wings and she'll cover them up and hide them. John, that was really anticlimactic. But right there, you've got an actual picture of that. So let's take the funny away and get serious for a second. What does it mean to live your life underneath the shadow of God's wings? His wings is His presence. So to say, I'm going to hide myself in your presence. I'm going to hide myself under every single thing that you are, God. What does that mean? When your problems come, instead of running to your friends, you run to put yourself underneath Jesus. That when storms come in your life and you could try to take them on your own, no, say, I'm going to go hide myself in His presence. You see, when you've got issues in school, when you've got issues at home, maybe you don't even have issues and you're just feeling rough at points in times. You're going to, the life that you should be living is, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to go hide myself underneath His wings because there's protection there. There's provision there. There's presence there. There's power there. There's things that are going to change me so that when you come and you say, I'm speaking to you Christians and not listen at me. If you got storms and you're getting attacked, you're not strong as you think. How dare you think you can stand up alone to Satan? You are foolish and idiotic to think that. So many Christians think I am super Christian. I can deal with this attack. And when the attack comes, we don't even pray. We don't even go to Him. We don't even seek His presence. Christian, you're not as strong as you think. You're only stronger than you think when you're in Him. Jesus Christ. I'm speaking a little bit mean, but I'm trying to get you educated so that when the fiery darts of the enemy come, they might be bounced off the shield, the protection of God. You want to get some Ephesians 6 up in horror. Read the armor of God. But listen up. Hide yourself in His presence. Every single day when you roll out of bed, you want to live the life God is looking of you. It's every day, God, I'm hiding myself in Your presence. God, I'm going to be so deep in You that when Satan comes to try to find me and attack me, he's going to have to come through Your wings and he's not going to make it through because I'm hidden in You. Hiding is the act of something that was once visible no longer being visible. So to say that I'm going to be so involved in who God is in my life, I'm going to be so in prayer, I'm going to be so in His Word, I'm going to be so in fasting, I'm going to be so in chasing after Him that you're not going to be able to find me unless you find Jesus. That is what God is looking of you. I know we're running short on time. What does it say there? I cry out to God in verse 2, Most High. When's the last time you cried out to God? I'm not saying this means you run a church. Jesus, but there's been times where I've been there. I'm going to get a little bit emotional for a minute. There's been times when I've had issues and I've had things when I was younger. I was about 18 years old and I was in the middle. I just graduated high school. And it felt like I couldn't pray anymore. Every time I tried to talk, it was like something was holding my tongue back. I didn't know what to say. And I wanted to cry. I wanted to worship and I would see my friends get blasted by the presence of God. They'd be down crying on the altar and I'd just be standing back there. And it got to this one thing. I think it was at Camp Apex. I got to the point in time in which I said, God, I will no longer sit back and not have You. I will have You just like the lady with the alabaster jar. And it came to the moment in time in which I said, Abba! You know, Paul talks about in our hearts cry out. We read it Abba. That's not how it was said in Hebrew. It was Abba. I'm not mistaken. I would ask Stephanie if she was sitting there. Abba, Father. Jesus, come. Have you cried out to God lately? Have you seeked His presence to the point in time in which I'm so desperate for You? If it means standing here and shouting Your name for You to come, I'm going to do it. That's what I want this church to be. That when we would walk through the malls of the county, they would say, they are the ones that cry out to God. Not just in the youth ministry, but in the women's ministry, in the men's ministry on Sunday mornings. That we'd walk into this church and there would be people in the altars crying out to God, flat on their faces, seeking His presence and will. I'm tired of hearing old men come tell me about the days many years ago when men would go walk. I heard about this church. I'm not bragging. I'm about the kingdom, okay? But we're here in this church right now. So let me tell you a little story, history about this place. There was a time in which the men of this church, before the services would start, they would walk through the woods and cry and pray to God many hours before service started on Sunday morning. And he said, as a young child, I would walk to church and I would hear the men in the woods crying and praying to God. He said, those were the days in which we saw muscular dystrophy healed like that. Those were the days in which limbs grew back. Those were the days in which the blind saw. And I'm telling you, young person, you want to see the miracles and power of God unleashed in your day, get desperate. I'm sorry. I'm not about political correctness. I'm about the presence of God. I'm hiding myself in His wings. And if it means to stay in His wings, I got to get desperate sometimes. You know how a baby bird lets its mama know it needs food? It cries. Sometimes when you get desperate, guys, you just need to cry to Jesus. And the song, and cry to Jesus. It's a beautiful song on the radio. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and come heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'm going to hear from heaven. Guys, when we turn from our wicked ways, seek His face. We cry out to Him. Guys, He hears it. We're closing. We're almost done. What is this? 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's actually two times it says that, but 7:14 is the one I like better there. And it says, I'll cry out to God who will fulfill His purpose for me. Hey, Christian. Hey, believer. If He said it, He's going to do it. And just because His word gets a little bit shaky sometimes and His promises seem a little bit distant. I preached about this the first time I preached in Dominican. If Jesus said something to you, He's going to get His purpose done. If He called you to lead something, if He called you to do something, He's going to get it done.
with you. Not plan B, no, with you. Unless you choose to refuse it. What's it say in verse 3? He'll send me help from heaven to rescue me. And then finally, my God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. Guys, I spoke a lot about attack tonight. I spoke a lot about things coming against you. But Jesus Christ is in the business of rescuing us. And I don't know what you're in right now that you need to be rescued from. I don't know if it's sin. I don't know if it's bondage. I don't know if it's something in your past that's haunting you. I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you, he's going to send you help from heaven to rescue you. You just got to cry out to him. Doesn't mean that you might yell. I did. I got to the point. I've done that a couple times. Sometimes my cry was just, I try to hold on to everything. And I remember laying sick in my house, dealing with low sugar. I couldn't stop shaking. And my mom walked up to me. And she said, just let go. What my mom didn't know is I'd been resisting God for a while about something he'd been telling me. And I have never heard God speak so clearly through another person's mouth. It is amazing how in that moment that my mom and the voice of God's voice were the same thing in that moment. It was crazy. Maybe some of you other people in here know what that's like. And your mama's voice is just like, whoa, that was Holy Ghost. That wasn't her. Guys, God wants to give you favor. You just got to ask for it. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. I think back to blind Bartimaeus. Have mercy on me, son of David. Do you see the change in my voice? God sees it when you get desperate. Have favor on me. Secondly, I look to you. Guys, you need to be looking at Jesus. He needs to be your focal point, your attention center. Thirdly, is your life hidden beneath the shadow of his wings? Have you put yourself underneath his wings? Have you hidden yourself in his presence? You know this thing they say about guys and girls, they say, I want to get so lost in God that a guy has to find Jesus to find me. Your life should be so lost in God that if anyone wants to find you, they have to find him. Not your boyfriend. I don't want to talk about relationship. No, I'm talking about your life, period. You should be so hidden underneath the shadow of his wings. You've got to go through some feathers to get to where you're at. That when your friends come over, they got to go through some feathers. Now, that's very figurative, but understand what I'm saying. Fourthly, you need to cry out to God. 2 Chronicles 7:14-5. God's going to send you help just when you need it most. Trust me, he's not forgotten you. Maybe that was for someone in here. God sends his unfailing love and faithfulness is how that passage closes. My God will. My God will. My God will. Say that with me. My God will. Say it together. My God will. That's declarative. It's a fact. My God will send forth his love and his faithfulness. Let's stand up. Let's go on home tonight.